Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Andrea Simintov speaking with you, to you, Biyachad, all together from Jerusalem, beautiful Jerusalem, on a sunny, very hot morning. So if you hear any noise in the background, I have acquiesced. I've turned on the air conditioning. So we'll try not to keep it too buzzy. Before we get started, I'd like to say good morning, good night, good evening to my friends in the United States, of course, and Canada. I'm like sort of going across the globe here. I'm trying to look at this great list. And to say good evening, good morning to those in Israel, of course, Australia. Happy to see that you are with us. It must be really, oh, actually it's getting cooler there. The UK, Colombia, back another week. Happy that you're with us, Colombia. And of course, Germany. I was on German soil for the first time in my life a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, a lot of cuckoo clocks for sale. All right. It's very funny. I print out the news and then I say, oh, it's going to be such an upbeat show. And then I have all this negative stuff. We're just going to try to keep it upbeat because there are a lot of good things going on in the world. I may not mention that apparently all non-essential U.S. staff has been ordered to leave Iran. And I said that to my husband this morning. I said, wow, did you know that the Americans are being told to leave Iran? He said, yeah, lots is going on. So I fixed the car radio. So hopefully I will actually have more information. This week we celebrated International Hummus Day. We're in the Middle East. We're surrounded by enraged, crazed neighbors. And I like talking to you about Hummus Day. And to the jerk who wrote me a letter, if you're listening, apparently you listened on podcast, and when I gave my whole spiel about who I want to make Aliyah, why you have to make Aliyah, why there is just get on the plane. Don't even make the call to Nefesh B'Nefesh. Call them after you get here. And he wrote to me, he can't make Aliyah because the price of beer here. You go out to a pub. You know what? You're just very morally flawed, and you're a moral flea. Just flea, F-L-E-A. Although you're F-L-E. Okay, this is Andrea Simintov. Pull up a chair, and I'm going to speak to you on the other side.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
We're back. Andrea Simintov on Pull Up a Chair, and I'm speaking with you from holy, gorgeous, sunny Jerusalem. All right, so I had a busy week, first of all. I don't know what to laugh or to scream. So any of you who I mentioned, we have a few South African listeners, and many of you who listen in know that I do a little gig. It's like a 10-minute, 12-minute gig every Thursday afternoon on Chai FM in South Africa. I'm not giving them a plug. But nevertheless, this has never happened to me before. I was away. I was away for a long, long time. It felt like forever over in the States. And you heard a lot about that. So having said that, I laid down to close my eyes last week before going on the radio. And like 2 hours later, I opened my eyes and I saw all these frantic messages from me. I missed the show. This has never happened. So I'm not sure if Tamar Yona from Israel News Talk Radio is listening in, or she knew about this little, as we say in Hebrew, Arabic, fashla, this little mistake. But anyway, I missed the show last week, and I received a note, an almost nasty note from my new friend Monty, who said, like, you know, his week was destroyed. Anyway, I'm going to try to be awake. Monty, if you're listening, I'll try to make it. Okay, so here we are. So I told you that I missed the show. That's fascinating. I'm going supermarket shopping this afternoon. Anybody want to meet me there? Let me know. This week, I'm a little hepped up. I spent most of the week in government agencies, standing online, breaking my teeth with my horrible Hebrew and trying to get my due. And I realized that this week I paid more in parking fees than I actually pay for my monthly mortgage. Okay, on to important topics. Andrea Simintov at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. The pretentious, the obnoxious, the oh-so-smug Harvard Lampoon. I don't know how many of you know about this. The Harvard Lampoon, which is it's a really kind of, I'm supposed to say, you know, it's like very upscale, but it's not upscale. It was founded in 1876. All kinds of illustrious alumni contributed to it. George Plimpton, John Updike, and I guess Conan O'Brien. He likes Israel, so we'll throw him in their mix also. Anyway, this week, the Harvard Lampoon, denotes by the name Lampoon, they lampooned, hold on to your stomach, all right? They lampooned Anne Frank. They photoshopped a face of her face, that iconic, beautiful, sweet little girl face with that lovely smile, eyes bright for the future. And they did it on the body of a half-naked pinup, how Anne Frank would look today. I think I don't have the notes in. Oh, what Anne Frank would have looked like if she hadn't died. Add this to your list of reasons the Holocaust sucked. Okay. The arrogance, the chutzpah. And of course, they apologized. They only apologized, of course, after they were skewered, mostly by people on the intolerant right, of course. Let me just see that. Oh, and I love this. They referred to, again, sort of sounds a little like the New York Times, an editorial oversight. There wasn't enough crossing of the T's and dotting the I's. So I would like to throw in, you know, we know they crossed the line from humor into anti-Semitism. A few more quotes. And this is what I have to say. Anne Frank in a bikini. These people, are representative of the thought police. They'll tell you what to think. They'll tell you when you're being inappropriate. Why? Because they're smug. They're arrogant. They are morality imposers. They impose the morality for the day. No cross-checkers? A few more apologies? Let me ask you, friends, And correct me if I'm wrong. I'm a life coach, okay? That we're trained to say that. Correct me if I'm wrong, or I understand that. Why is it that these oversights seem to come frequently, or is the word constantly, with issues of sensitivity to Jews? Only our sacred cows are worthy of contempt. The Harvard Lampoon, pompous, arrogant, arbiters of everything that is oh so clever, oh so cutting edge, and just so boringly brilliant. This week, nothing new under the sun. It absolutely proves my assertion that some of the stupidest people I know are supposedly the most educated. Harvard Lampoon, Anne Frank photoshopped, why the Holocaust sucked. Is this what we dream of for our children? I'm curious to know if any Harvard alumni are listening in and what they think of their nouveau alma mater. Okay, deep breath, drink of water, said my bracha. Okay, We're using a new system today to talk. So I'm flipping back and forth and forth and back. Okay. We all know, we all came across, those of us who are listening, very, very Israel-centered. We all heard about the Tennessee judge. We're going to keep the language clean here. There was a Tennessee judge who tells Jews to get the over the effing Holocaust. Gee, first two stories. We're in a Holocaust theme. And people again, here it is, the Jews wringing their hands. Oh, how could he say this? He wants the effing Holocaust. He didn't lose 6 million of his people. He's not the problem, my friends. The non-Jews who do not have the Holocaust as part of their legacy, they're not the problem. They don't owe us. The problem is the Jews who tremble and they're embarrassed by and embarrassed of a Judaism that they don't even know about. They don't even know the beauty and the richness and the depth of our history because they weren't given a chance to explore, to learn, and to embrace this legacy. So many of us today are products of an anemic blending. Let's be part of the amcha, part of the populace. Let's be like everybody else. Let's have a bagel and lox once in a while, a kugel once a year. And teach our children how to dance the hora. You know, this Tennessee judge, he's not a problem. He just is. My heart breaks for Jews who don't know who they are while living the most extravagant lives, lives that our ancestors could only dream about. Remember Tevye's one long staircase just going up and another even longer coming down? So rich. So, so poor. And I came to another, which I think is fascinating, another observation this week. I don't know. I was a mess. I was a mess last week. I came back a week ago Tuesday, and I was just crying the whole week. Of course, the condition of my house would have made anybody sob. I was very teary and very emotional, and I had come back from America, and I kept running into all of these American Jews who were going from one fancy kosher restaurant to another. And they looked at me with a kind of patronizing smile when I said I lived in Jerusalem. Oh, you live in Jerusalem. Oh, you live in Israel. Oh, how I wish. And in the meantime, their children, one generation after another, they're disappearing. And what's most interesting to me is my shock. I'm almost old-fashioned, you know, lahavdil, we keep it separate. We don't do this anymore. There used to be a time when a Jewish boy or girl would marry out of the faith and the parents sat shiva. They ripped their clothing just as though they were in mourning. They, what we say, they tore kriya and they sat shiva. It isn't done anymore. It's really in my IMO. That's usurping God's outcome. But it still is fascinating to me that so many don't care. It's not a matter of just shyly saying, my child is engaged and they're marrying somebody of a different faith and I wish it were different. But it's not that. They're celebrating. So many Jews among us are celebrating, finally blending in. I just read this week in the New York Times. New York Times, you know, of course, that's where the class comes in. They're so much better. It's so much loftier than the tacky New York Post. And here, there was a beautiful wedding, such a description of an Indian Jewish wedding. The guy was Jewish. The girl was Indian. Oh, this woman's family had such pride. It was so beautiful. And of course, they introduced her. He had the turban on and they dressed him. And there was the henna ceremony. And it was just beautiful. And the Jews clapped and loved it. And what did they do? They stepped on a glass and everyone screamed Mazel Tov. And those of us who are involved in observing Judaism know that the stepping of a glass is not the Mazel Tov moment. It's the moment to remember that we've been thrown into Galus and that our temple has been destroyed. They danced a hora and they screamed L'chaim, to life. But it wasn't L'chaim. It was to death of a line, to death of a consistency, a line that goes all the way back to Sinai. This doesn't mean that where there is life, there isn't hope. But we celebrate that which used to be aberrant. My heart breaks, friends. Call me crazy. It's my show. I feel fine. I'm going to talk to you on the other side.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Okay, we are back. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair. I'm going to talk about these lofty subjects when I come on yucking, laughing. This reminds me of going back to the beginning where we talked about this, you know, this smugness of these pseudo-intellectuals who are so mocking. Give me a cab driver, Jewish, non-Jewish, Pakistani, Arab, or Israeli. Give me a cab driver who drives around every day, listens in, has all this time to assess. Love it. Like these hard. I'm just saying, I wrote some very passionate notes here. I was very passionate this morning when I woke up because I needed air conditioning. And so one thing I do want to tell you is that comes across my news feed constantly, really negative stuff, frightening stuff. And I do share with you. I share with you things that kind of give me a ping during the week. I send myself these things and then I talk about it. I must tell you that with all that's going on in the world, crazy, 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 I'm not blue about it. I'm not in a funk because I know who runs the world. But I also know that I, you, us, every one of us, our obligation is not to fix it. Our obligation is not to sit in our four walls and wring our hands, is to put one foot in front of the other, live morally, stop screaming, stop yelling, God's running the world, but don't be ashamed of who you are, you know, and don't feed into the disappearance of our people. You know, my little dirty secret is that I so believe that God is running the world that whenever I get into a funk, I take a deep breath, I assess, and I say it's all predestined. And that I even know that there's a predestined amount of Jews who are supposed to remain in this world. My job is to make sure that every Jew lives, thrives, procreates, and continues living God's glorious message. God will do his thing. So don't worry about it, but don't give up and don't stop and don't shut up. Be smart and be informed. All right. Interesting. I'm sure to the west of Israel, actually to the west of England, most of you haven't heard of this obscenity called Eurovision. It is the tackiest. I'm just telling you. It's a show that has been, I mean, I'm now in Israel. Please God, July will be 24 years. So I've seen about 23 Eurovisions. Awful, awful, awful. It's like ABBA on steroids, you know, the acts are crazy, a lot of glaring. It's like somebody got stuck in the 60s and 70s, and it's acts from all over Europe. Somehow Israel is part of Europe, and apparently Australia is now part of Europe. So Eurovision is, and this year, Eurovision is being hosted in Israel, I think for the fourth time, because we won it last year. With Netta. Netta Bazalai sang that classic, that elegant classic, similar to Mozart, called Toy. Anyway, apparently dozens of supporters of the BDS, you know, the Boycott, Divest, and Sanction movement, and pro-Palestinian organizations, they managed to enter Israel under the auspices of the Eurovision Song Contest, planning all kinds of provocations, planning all kinds of demonstrations against our holy soldiers. I won't even tell you what they call them, and against the settlers. Settlers, as we learned from the holy Leah Aharoni, it's not settlers. The word for a settler in Hebrew is from an inheritor, from the inheritors of our land. Radical left-wing organizations in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and Hebron, they plan to do this. Okay, once again, our stressed army, our stressed military has to deal with these people. Why are they even here? And I'm laughing. So many of them are women. Why is that funny? Because these women, who it's giving them a voice, it's giving them something to do, because they're not home raising holy families, I don't know. But if they were to go to the countries that they are so promoting, the countries that they think are so holy as opposed to evil Israel, if they lived to tell the story, they would be whipped for their brazenness. They would be sexually mutilated, sexually abused, sidelined, and their voices would be silent. Now, the fun part about this is, if I see any demonstrations, I will let you know, because even the producers of the station don't know that I will be attending, please God, the Eurovision. Gosh, I can't believe I'm saying this. The Eurovision semifinals tonight in Tel Aviv. Okay, my husband is trying to figure out how we're going to get there, because it's like the streets are all packed. But I'm going to be at Eurovision tonight, not performing, contrary to popular opinion, popular prayer. But I will let you know if I see any demonstrators. I'll take pictures and post it on. Okay, this is where I very often, I'm losing the English. It's not being replaced with Hebrew. It's just sort of this perpetual speech impediment I now have. This is where I differ from a lot of people in my orbit, in my very traditional orbit, in my very Jewish orbit, in my very Israel-centric orbit. Apparently, a member of Knesset, Gideon Sa'ar, his daughter, you know, the story has been publicized, so I feel okay reporting this. Anyway, her daughter is dating actor Amir Khoury. I think Amir Khoury, he might be an Arab Christian. I'm not sure, but he's an Arab. And Gideon Sa'ar is under siege by various organizations, various rabbis, various people. This Amir Khoury, good-looking guy, he played in Fauda. We all know about Fauda. And Gideon Sa'ar is being lambasted and says, get your daughter to stop dating him. We have a long heritage. They're throwing him notes, public chastisement about our heritage, our tradition, how we suffered persecutions, inquisitions, crusades, pogroms, the Holocaust. There are Holocaust again. And the chairman of a very well-known organization signed this letter with a proposal to help Gideon Sa'ar. I'll be happy to meet with you and our professional team, and we'll help you to tell your daughter not to cut herself off from the golden chain of the Jewish people. So here's the Andrea input. I don't know how many of you are parents listening. I don't know how many of you are parents to teenagers, young adults, older adults. How many of you are grandparents like me? I have friends that are my age, very young, I may add, who are already great grandparents. How many of you ever told your children what to do, and the percentage of children who listened? We live our truths. I never met a Jew who became Sabbath observant because Jews dressed in black threw stones at their car and was screaming, Shabbos, Shabbos. that the fear of getting a rock in your windshield made them Sabbath observant. I wish very much that this were not happening. I wish very much that the daughter of Gideon Sar would date a nice Jewish boy, go home and make Jewish babies, and continue our glorious chain. But you know what? It may happen. And it may not happen this year, and it may not happen this decade. And Gideon Sar, wherever you stand politically, he's not our enemy. And he knows the deal, and he knows about the golden chain, and he knows about it. If you want to turn someone off, keep doing what you're doing. Write these public pronouncements. Keep it coming, okay? And kick yourself, put your own, you really kick yourself in the mouth. How foolish, how silly. Okay, on the good news front, the U.S. diplomats did not allow, apparently, Hanan Ashrawi, I can't even say her name, Ashrawi. All right, we all know of her. She's the executive. She's on the executive committee of the PLO. She annoyed President Trump, and she was not allowed into the States. Her U.S. visa application was rejected. No reason given, she said. Well, I'll give you the reason. Because you're an enemy. You're an enemy of America. And I laugh. Here again, just like these BDS gals, she's so lucky to have this job, because if she didn't have this job, she would be sidelined. She wouldn't be doing anything. Women are not revered members of society in the world she comes from. The reason, she's a very smart woman. She's very articulate. And as long as she serves her purpose, as long as she's a playful puppet to the Palestinian Liberation Organization, she will be used, and she'll be a woman with a paying job there. Okay. Also, time is running down, and I do want to, we're going to have a great Devar Torah today, which of course relates to Jewish pride. We already mentioned that the U.S., all Americans have to leave Iraq. Okay. The Israel team. Did you know that there's something called an Olympiad, a physics Olympiad? Hello. We're going to end this segment and tell you that the Israeli team won 3 medals. They won the gold, the silver, the bronze. These are like, as my sister would say, Weisenheimers. I mean, these are smart kids, physics genius, and they're all in high school. It was 2 5-hour long university exams. Physics, I don't even tell you, one in theory and one how to run an experiment. I never passed a science classroom that I didn't want to run away from. Crazy. I am so, and not only that, they were encouraged. They went partying and they connected with youth from around the world. This is real hasbara. This is real outreach. This is real selling our story, being our personal bests, being our most incredible, being terrific. That's what we really want the world to see about us. And that's why you're listening to the show, because you're listening to somebody upbeat. My name is Andrea Simintov. I'm going to see you on the other side.
In a time where feelings have become facts, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov on Pull Up a Chair. And this is our favorite part of the show, my Devar Torah portion. Oh, I'm just looking into Facebook. Very cute. All right. I hope I didn't get fired from that South African gig. I'll let you know, Monty. All right. Okay, so the reason I'm going to Eurovision is because I don't know how many of you know, but I'm connected to the Shalva organization for children, Israel, the Association for Children with Mental and Physical Disabilities. It's a really very holy organization, and they are they're the halftime show. They are Sabbath. We talked about it on another show. You got to like stay with the show. You got to. It's like a series. And because they're Shomer Shabbat, Sabbath observant, and the rehearsals, shamefully, are going to be taking place on Saturday, on the Sabbath. I don't know if it's the whole day, but they start before the Sabbath is out. The Sabbath ends very late. The Shalva band chose not to participate. And really what we say that it was what we call a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name. And I guess as the consolation prize, they're going to be performing tonight and I'm going to be seeing it. Now, if they call me on stage, I will have no option but to get up there and share my gifts with the world. Okay. Bahar, I can't believe it. If it weren't for you guys, am I actually putting together these Devar Torahs, these Torah talks where I have to actually learn something, I don't think that I would be as excited as I am now. And I always know, like Bahar, it's a last name. I've heard of people named Bahar, but I never put it together that this is, the name of the Parsha is Bahar. It's like at the summit. Let me just see. I actually wrote it down here. It's not just climbing a mountain. It's like at the summit, standing at the foot of the mountain, at the mountain. And yet, it's not just a mountain. We all know the mountain. It's Mount Sinai. Now, the word for mountain is har, at the mount, bahar. And it denotes that God spoke to Moses on a mountain and not Har Sinai. Why isn't this weekly portion called Sinai, or minimally, Bahar Sinai on the Sinai Mountain? Why are we referring to this passage in the Torah as a mountain? We're told that God chose to give us the Torah on Mount Sinai since it was the lowest of all mountains. We learned this in Hebrew school 101, even in nursery school. So there's a twofold message in this, why God chose this specific mountain. And it's really funny, well, to me it's a little funny, that all of this always refers to the kind of things we talk about on this show. And I don't really understand why the week's news always leads to the proper Torah discussion. But hey, I'm not running the world. I'm second in command. So first of all, Sinai was of modest height, and we're taught this quality of humility, obviously not like the Harvard Lampooners. It was chosen also because even though it was very small, it was still a mountain, making it known to us that while humility is of great importance, we must never allow this midah, a midah is a positive attribute, to turn us into doormats for the rest of the world to tread upon us with liberty. Sound familiar? Humility has to be accompanied with a measure of self-esteem and self-assertion in order that we still keep the necessary goods, the necessary package to face our spiritual and worldly trials and challenges. Har, mountain, denotes that there's symbolic loftiness and self-esteem. Sinai characterizes humility and self-nullification. Sinai. Humility is a foundation upon which this attribute, this midah of mount is attached to ensure that one will prevent his humility from turning him into milk toast. That's interesting. Our basis is not a mountain upon which we should build humility. Our base must be that of Sinai upon which we build a mountain. Now, according to the Rama, do your research, look it up, self-nullification and humility result directly from being aware of God's greatness. My friends, we talk about this. I talk about it. Don't wring your hands. When you read about all the Jews are enduring in the world, when you read about all this anti-Israel rage, it's anti-Israel when they mark again, you know, about our, no, it's anti-settler. No, it's anti-Jew, darling. Don't wring your hands. Observe it, feel it, take it in, and put one foot, have a cup of coffee, and then put one foot in front of the other and live your greatness. When we ponder our own insignificance in relation to God's greatness, it's only then that we can attain an understanding that godliness is the true and ultimate existence. That's where it all lies. That's the reason that this portion is called Behar, alone, mountain. The sign of true humility and self-nullification is the point at which a person is able to feel just as elevated and self-assured as a mountain, and still know that this attribute does not stem from haughtiness, chutzpah, or even material wealth, but solely from a complete immersion in godliness. The way we dress, the way we eat. I'm taking a note here because if we run out of, we still have time. I want to make a complete immersion note. Yay, Andrea. Okay. A lot of comment has been made. Okay, we're going to segue a little bit. A lot of comment has been made over the centuries regarding the fact that, of course, the Torah introduces this week's reading saying that the revelation took place at the mountain of Sinai. Rashi says that it's to emphasize that the Torah is divine, which is represented in human terms by the mountain of Sinai. God could have given us the Torah anywhere. It didn't even have to be a place. All the Jewish people could have been suddenly imbued with Torah. But there was a place, there's a significance to describe and identify godly instructions in the terms of a mountain. Perhaps, maybe out of all the wonders in our natural world, you know, great mountains inspire, influence us in really challenging ways. When I flew back, oh my gosh, this last trip, I flew from Florida to Washington, from Washington to Zurich, from Zurich to Israel. I was crazed. And yet, as tired as I was almost a zombie. Jet lag didn't even apply. Somehow, when we flew over the Alps, I took out my camera. I never saw any. It was so much. It went on forever. It was so massive. It was indeed awesome. Not sloppily to use the word, but to understand the meaning of awe was to look at the Alps from above and not even be able to comprehend God's greatness. You know, human beings, often they risk their lives to climb and scale mountains. And understand, once you reach the top of the mountain, what are your options? Come down again. Climbing a mountain is just climbing a mountain. And yet, we always see that human beings continually climb, very often at great financial expense and great physical risk. My gosh, when we read about the avalanches, we read about people losing the oxygen. Very often, they stop without reaching the peak. Curiosity is driving them, adventure, risk-taking, challenging the unknown. If that's true, and it's in the natural and physical world that we inhabit, these physical mountains to climb, so too, we have to understand that to reach our spirituality and service to God, we have to climb mountains. Our father, Abraham, he originally described that the spiritual goal, that the city of Jerusalem and its location would be represented as a mountain. When you drive to Jerusalem, your ears start to pop because you're climbing higher and higher. And even though the rabbis of the Talmud, they kind of softened this view and saw Jerusalem more as a house and a home, Jerusalem still retains the view of Avraham as being a mountain. It's not easily accessible, not easy to walk it, not easy to be here spiritually. The terrain is difficult. The streets are composed of hills, valleys, ups and downs. You know, the physical Jerusalem is always representative of a spiritual Jerusalem that hovers above it. It takes a lot of efforts and patience to climb this mountain of spirituality. Cloaked in the problems of urban living, it's a mess here. It still brings us to greater heights of altitude, behavior, and vision. A simple fool says that just being a good person is enough. Without ritual and paraphernalia of religion and observance. It's a wise person who realizes that it takes preparation, tools, enormous effort to be just a good person. The observances that the Torah demands of us are themselves the tools that allow us to attempt to scale that great mountain that lies before each and every one of us. Those tools are described for us by the tradition of the mountain of Sinai. My friends, from Jerusalem, I wish you Shabbat Shalom Umivorach.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.